we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Today is National Ukulele Day. It is National Ukulele Day, and if you are on Instagram, you heard my husband talking about National Ukulele Day. So he played a little bit of ukulele, so get your ukulele out and invest a little time in worship on your ukulele. So we want to just pay homage to National Ukulele Day and get it started right. So, but more importantly, Bethany shared a great little acrostic with the pastor's wives recently, and I just wanted to share that with you. I don't know about you, but I have experienced in recent days a little bit of stress. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that, if it's crossed your mind to be stressed at all. I don't know. I have experienced it recently. So Bethany shared this acrostic with the ministry wives, and I want to share it with you. And so on your notes, would you write down in a line this way, S-T-R-E-S-S, stress, just down like that. And so the S is seek God's guidance. This is the way we handle stress, seek God's guidance. The T is trust what he tells you to do. Trust what he tells you to do. The R, remember past victories. It is so important, ladies, that we remember past victories, that we pay attention to them. The E, exalt God above the problem. Exalt God above the problem. S, solicit the prayers and support of others. Solicit the prayers and support of others. And the second S, stand on the promises of God. Stand on the promises of God. So, how do I deal with stress? I seek God's guidance. I trust what he tells me to do. I remember past victories. I exalt God above the problem. And I solicit prayers and support of others. And I stand on the promises of God. If I would do this, I would conquer my stress. And so I'm going to work on it. How about you guys? So as I was studying in my Bible, opened up my Bible, and I came across something that I had written down of a dream that I had in August 2019. Oftentimes when I have dreams that I remember, I will write them down. Sometimes we have dreams and we wake up and we go, oh man, that was the weirdest dream. What was that dream? We don't remember any part of it, but those dreams that we just remember every detail of it, write those down and then find out what God's trying to say to you through those dreams. I believe that God speaks to us through dreams, and that's not out there. I'm not being all Pentecostal on that or any weirdness on that. Sometimes God speaks to us through dreams, And so I had this dream just before the ladies' retreat in 2019. You remember ladies' retreats? Yeah, when we all got together and we hugged each other and we ate together and we sat closely around the table and we sang and we had a great time. And that will happen again. That will happen again. We're right now making plans to see what we can do for this year. God knows what we're going to do. So here's my dream as I was, the dream that I had come across so before this retreat. I was in an airport, and my daughter Shannon was there. There were other ladies also. Everybody was having fun. Everybody was laughing and having a great time in this airport together. And the next thing I see is all of a sudden, I was folding clothes in the airport. I was folding clothes in the airport, and I was away. I had come away from the group. I'm folding clothes. Everybody else over is still over there laughing and having fun. And then I looked over at a man by a table for two, and still in the airport, and the man was standing at the table motioning to me to come and sit. Come and sit. Just motioning, not saying anything, but just come. Sit. And so, sounds like I'm talking about a dog, huh? Come, sit. This was just a motion, so I don't know. But anyway, and I was hesitant, so he motioned again, and a lady sitting at a table nearby looking at me with a look of, so what are you going to do? Come and sit. And so then I woke up. I went, okay, Lord. What is this dream? What is this about? I remember too much of it for it to be nothing. So what is it about? Where, well, the main thing that he spoke to me is wherever I am, I'm always thinking of something else. No matter where I am at or what I'm doing, I'm always thinking of something else. And so the man at the table was Jesus. He was asking me to come to the table, to stop, to sit, come to the table. And so I'm asking the Lord that he would help me to be centered on him. And I'm asking him on your behalf that he would help you to be centered on him, to invest in him, to come and sit with Jesus, come to the table. Now, I am still working on, I'm still asking the Lord for a for sure verse for the year. Remember I told you that every year the Lord gives me a verse for the year. And last year it was Nahum 2, that the he who scatters has come before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, and fortify your power mightily. That was for last year that prepared us for this year. Prepared us for what God is doing this year, prepared us for what God knew would be coming on us this year. And the only verse that the Lord has given me this year, prepare yourselves, this is the only thing that he's given me, and I'm not excited about it, I got to tell you, because it's Job 3:26. And Job 3:26 says, I am not at ease, nor am I quiet, I have no rest, for trouble comes. I have no rest. This is not my rest. Where I'm at right now is not our rest. Jesus Christ is our rest. I have no rest. I find my rest in Christ alone. And that really goes with the text that we have today in verse 10. It says, arise and depart, for this is not your rest. And we'll get to that. So it ties together with our scripture today that this is not our rest. We are in the midst of spiritual warfare. Right in the midst of spiritual warfare. What is spiritual warfare? It is warfare that's going on in the spiritual realm. And so we go to Ephesians 6:12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness, hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This war is going on. I'm praying, and this warfare is going on. We are living in a time where trouble is coming. I would love to tell you everything's going to work out okay. It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a great year. We're going to have so much fun this year, and we probably will. But that's not what God's saying to me to tell to you. I would be a false prophet if I told you that. Just in what we're talking about today, in what we're in chapter 2, the false prophets who told them, oh, it's okay. You don't have to worry about that. You go ahead and live the way that you want to, and God's not going to judge you for it. But that's not what the scripture says. And this is the year that we have ahead of us. So in Ephesians 6, it tells us that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we are to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We are to carry the shield of faith, that we are to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that we are to have our feet shod with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are to prepare for what God has for us. Put on the whole armor. And we need to put on this whole armor every day. Be aware that there is a battle going on. In Daniel 10, we have the description of spiritual warfare. And we're going to just go a little bit into Daniel 10. And Daniel starts just before, or Daniel is the book that's just before the minor prophets start. So if you want to turn to chapter 10, now Daniel has been praying and fasting for 21 days. And if God speaks to you about praying and fasting, I want to encourage you to do it. I'm not saying that let's call a fast, but if God speaks to you to fast, please listen to him and please do it. And then you'll go into the thing of, well, what is he calling me to fast from? Can I have this? Can I have that? What is this? That's not God calling a fast. Because when God calls a fast, you know exactly what you're to do. And so if God calls you to fast, please do it. Daniel was calling on the Lord. He was fasting and he was praying for 21 days. Maybe he was at the place where he was a bit discouraged, where he felt like he couldn't go any further. This is hard. This is a hard thing to do. But we start with verse 11, and it's talking about an angel that had finally come to Daniel. And in verse 11 of chapter 10 in the book of Daniel, it says, "And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you." I have now been sent to you. Keep that in mind. "While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling." And I'll tell you, if you had an angel speaking to you, you'd be standing and trembling too. And I'm standing and trembling even as I share these words with you, because these are words of God. This is what God is speaking. I'm not trembling as much as I was this morning. This morning, I'm telling you, I have never felt the Spirit of the Lord quite that much in that group of just sharing this word of in the second chapter of Micah and speaking in Daniel. I stand here trembling before you because God has given me a word, and I know that it's God. It's not me. So I stood trembling. Verse 12, "Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time." 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I can hear from heaven, and then I will heal their land." We must humble ourselves. God is calling us to humble ourselves. And it says here in verse 12 of the chapter 10 of Daniel, it says that from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. I heard you the very first time that you spoke a word. The very first time that you prayed out to God and that you called out to God, it was heard. But why didn't he come right away? But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, that is the enemy, withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia, with the enemies. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. This vision refers to many days that are yet to come. 21 days he prayed and fasted and sought the Lord, humbled himself. 21 days before he got the answer. God is calling us to something more in our lives, something more than what we've been used to living. This is what spiritual warfare is, and we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. But take heart. Take heart, ladies. Because let me tell you, we have been preparing all our lives for this day. For this day that we're living in today, we have been preparing all our lives. We are ready. We are ready for what God has for us. I am ready to receive what God has for me, and I know you are too. Whatever that is, God will give us all we need to accomplish whatever he's called us to do. In Joshua 1:9, he says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go." The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. But have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, this book of Micah is not just a story. It's not just a little group of tales to be told. It's a collection of prophecies, and every one of these prophecies came to pass just as he said it would. Judges, and they were both against, Micah denounces corrupt officials in the religious and in the political. He denounces corrupt officials in the religious and in the political, in both Israel and in Judah. He talked about judges who took bribes. Was that front page? I don't know. I think I saw that recently. Judges that take bribes, priests that teach God's word only for money. We have that today. Preachers that preach only for money, not caring about the people, not caring about what God's doing, only for the money, and prophets that would tell your fortune for profit. Prophets that would tell your fortune for profits. Remember that prophecy is forth-telling. What they were telling was fortune-telling, telling the people what they wanted to hear. They told the people what they wanted to hear, but a true prophet tells the people what God wants them to hear. A true prophet tells the people what God wants them to hear. He talks about rulers who misled the people. Rulers who misled the people. Priests that misled the people. There is a greater judgment on those of us who are in the place of responsibility, who are in the place of teaching, if we lead people astray. Our judgment is greater, and that's why we tremble when we teach, because we want to make sure we're saying the words of God. Rulers misled the people, nobles took advantage of the poor, and the masses took their prayers and their petitions where? To the Lord? Oh, no, no, no. Took them to the idols because they had learned to trust in idols. They were into idol worship, anything but God. Remember Ahaz, who put aside the thing on the altar so that he could bring in the idols right there on the altar. And because of this, Micah says, God will destroy both nations. And so Assyria did, in fact, in 722 BC, destroyed Israel. And that was during Micah's lifetime. In 722 BC, during Micah's lifetime, Israel was destroyed. Assyria also overran Judah about 20 years later. And you recall from last week that they went right up to the gates of Jerusalem. They went right up to the walls of Jerusalem. They didn't completely annihilate. That was kept for the Babylonians to do. And the Babylonians would come in later in 586 BC, and they would completely decimate Judah. And so it was completely run down. And yet, as we will see, Micah also promises that a time will come when the Jewish nation will come together again, that remnant will come together again. Just as God promised, he said, I will always have a remnant among my people. I will always have a remnant among my people. When Jonah was sitting under that tree and he said, I'm all alone, it's all about me. What about the other prophet that says, I'm all alone? What's that? Elisha? I'm your last hope, God. All alone. And God said, oh, please. I got so many others, you have no idea. But he promises that they will be restored. And so when we look at chapter 2, woe to those who devise iniquity. Woe to those who devise iniquity. Woe to them and work out evil on their beds. At morning light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand to do it. It is in the power of their hand to do it. I can't help but think about some of the things that have been signed recently. Simply because it was in the power of his hand, of the person's hand to do it. I'm not getting political here. I want you to be very clear. I am not picking on anybody. But I am saying things have been devised while people were asleep at night or on their beds. They have devised evil things, and in the morning they couldn't wait to get up and to put a signature on something that meant the death of babies or meant the death of other things or meant the death of this or of that or of the other thing. They devised evil in their minds. We see that today, not only in our country, but in other countries as well. We see that in Burma right now today. That destruction, because it is in the power of their hand. Simply because they have power. They covet fields, they take them by violence, also houses, and seize them. So they oppress a man and his house, and a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster from which you cannot remove your necks. You cannot get out of this one, people. That's what he's saying. Nor shall you walk boldly or haughtily. For this is an evil time. Ladies, we live in an evil time. Any way you look at it, we live in an evil time. If you're just watching TV or movies, you can see how much more evil has come into the movies, how much destruction has come into those things that we watch. And we have to be careful about what we watch. In that day, one shall take up a proverb against you and a lament with a bitter lamentation, saying, we are utterly destroyed. He has changed the heritage of my people. How he has removed it from me to a turncoat. He has divided our fields. Micah knew of these people spoken of in these verses. Woe to those who devise iniquity, those who made evil plans and were quick to carry them out. He knew of men who coveted fields and houses and schemed to get the property by any means possible. Just get out of my way. I will own your property. I will take your property. I want that property. I will take that property. He knew landlords who oppressed the poor. He knew men like Ahab who coveted Naboth's vineyard in 1 Kings 21. He coveted it. He wanted it. And so he spoke to his wife Jezebel. And Jezebel said, "You're the king. Take it. Take it. It's yours for the taking." And it cost Ahab's greed, cost Naboth his life so that Ahab could have that vineyard. Micah knew men like that. I've seen men like that. I've seen people who are, "Get out of my way. I'm going to own that. I'm going to take what's yours. It's mine. I want it. It's mine." And God says, "I can't let that continue." In verse 6, "Do not prattle, you say, to those who prophesy, so they shall not prophesy to you. They shall not return insult for insult. You who are named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord restricted? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? For I will withhold no good thing from him who walks uprightly." That's your memorizing verse. Your memorizing verse. That's your memory verse for today. He will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. People of influence denounced Micah and called him a prating fool. Called him a fool. "You're just saying foolishness. This is never going to come down on us." And they were saying, "You're talking nonsense." And then you know what they said? "Do you know who we are? Excuse me, we are the sons of Abraham. We are the sons of Jacob. Do you know who we are? And have you not heard that in America? Do you not know who we are? That'll never happen in America. We live in evil days, evil times." John the Baptist in Matthew 3:9 confronted the same issue. "We have Abraham as our father, and yet it was empty. Although they were physically of the lineage of Abraham, they had a long time ago abandoned the spiritual connection with Abraham, the spiritual connection with his God." People today who call themselves Christians and yet live like the world have no confidence in that day. In that day, when Christ gathers his people, will he say to some people, "I never knew you"? "Oh, but we did this for you. We did this in your name, and we did that in your name." And God says, "I never knew you. We never had a relationship together. We never were intimate with each other." And this can go to once saved, always saved. We could go, that's a whole nother thing to talk about. I personally believe, like Chuck Smith said, once saved, always saved, unless you fall away. God knows. He says that we are to walk closely with him, intimately with him. I know that I'll be okay if I'm walking closely and intimately with the living God. I don't have to worry about it. And it would be a very sad situation. So verse 8, "Lately my people have risen up as an enemy against God. You've made your enemy yourself an enemy to me." God says, "You pull off the robe with the garment." You know what that means? You have stripped people completely naked. You've taken their underwear along with their outer garment. You've taken everything from them. And there are things that have happened to people that we know of that have been completely stripped of everything because of proud men or women. It's not just the guys. The women are just as proud and just as greedy and just as evil. You pull off the robe with the garment from those who trust you, from those who trust you as they pass by like men returned from war. The women of my people you cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children you have taken away my glory from forever. You disrobed the people who trusted you. You betrayed their trust. You take everything you can from anybody you can, and you call yourself a child of the king. You are declaring war on me, says God, and God says, I will win, guaranteed. You are misrepresenting me to the children. You are misrepresenting me to the children. You are teaching them that no one can be trusted. You've put them in a position of not knowing, ever knowing my glory because of the way you trust. They trusted you and you betrayed that trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord, and what they had done was they had put a shadow on that trust. Maybe I can't trust the Lord. If I can't trust these people, maybe I can't trust the Lord. And in teaching them that they couldn't trust anyone, they had stripped them of the glory that they could have had in Christ, that they could have had in God by understanding that you can trust in him. Again, teachers, leaders who are more responsible for what they've done, and they will pay a greater price. Since these people were representatives of God who should be teaching the people of how much they can trust God, they had failed miserably and had perhaps taken away the knowledge of God's glory from the people. In verse 10, arise and depart. This is not your rest. And you know, Jesus said, enter into my rest. Enter into my rest. This is not your rest. Jesus is my rest. Jesus is my peace. God is my peace. He is my rest. Because it is defiled, it shall destroy. Yes, with utter destruction. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the prattler of this people. Even he would be. Micah saw rich men manipulating the law for their own purposes. Manipulating the law for their own purposes. Yeah, I've seen that. Manipulating the law for their own purpose. To suit themselves, and they quieted the spirit within them by listening to false prophets. They calmed themselves by listening to false prophets whose words, those false prophets who said, you go ahead and live however you want to live. God is not, you know, God loves you. God loves you, and he doesn't expect more of you. You go ahead, do what you want. That's okay. You'll be fine. The false prophets who said, you don't have to pay a price. False prophets who lead us in a direction to worship idols. It says that these words, when it talks about the wine and drink, it's talking about these words are coming from men who their words are as valuable as a drunken, stumbling, drunken person. You've seen that happen. The things that come out of the mouths of people when we think that we're having fun. people who make promises, just get a little wine in. What happened? What happened to the king? It cost John the Baptist his head because the king was drunk at the time. Their words are like a drunken person's words. They can't be trusted. But here we get, like last week, we had verse 15. This week, we got verses 12 and 13. We got two verses this time. How exciting is this? I will surely assemble all of you, Jacob. I am going to bring you all together. This is the Lord speaking. And Micah is telling them, I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. God said, I will always have a remnant. There will always be a remnant of my people. I will put them together like sheep of the fold. And when they talk about the sheep of the fold and like a flock in the midst of their pasture, he's talking about in the same way as the sheep of Bozrah, a place that is noted for its rich pasture lands in 2 Kings 3:4. I will take you and I will feed you well. I will take you and I will feed you well. Micah heard the noise of a large crowd of people and he saw going before them the breaker. Like a flock in the midst of their pasture, they shall make a loud noise because of so many people. Remember when they came out of Sodom and Gomorrah? When they came out of Sodom, when Lot came out and they prayed, if there's just 10 people here, God is saying, my remnant is more. We get to feeling like we're just a little group. But God says, I have more. I have more that have trusted in me. And we have gone all over the world. We have met true believers every country we've ever been in. God has people all over this world. The one who breaks open will come up before them. Who is that? Oh, they will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. Micah tells them that the Messiah is the one who will clear the way. It is the Messiah is the one that will clear the way. Just as he marched ahead of his people when they came out of Egypt into the promised land, so he will march ahead of them in that coming day. He will lead us in the same, God will lead us in the same way that he led the people out of Egypt. He will clear out their way, out of their way, the beast, the false prophet, and the huge armies of the world. God himself is coming for us. God himself will go before you. He has gone before you. Joshua 3:4, you have not passed this way before. You have not passed this way before. I have said to people before, I have never been old before. And so I don't know how I'm supposed to be right now. How am I supposed to dress as an old person? How am I supposed to look as an old person? I've never been here before, but God has gone before. Feeling a little old today. God has gone before. God has gone before you in every area. He's gone before you. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Neither be dismayed. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I've gone before you. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And there he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's gone ahead of you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Psalm 23:5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepared it for me. You went ahead of me and you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God has gone before us. He has prepared a place for us. Jesus Christ is coming back. He is coming back, and he is coming back so much sooner than we ever believed. He is coming for those who love his appearing. He is coming for us. He is coming for his beloved. Jesus Christ is coming back. He went before us to prepare the way for us. Trust the Lord. People have let you down. I promise you, everybody will let you down at some point, but you can trust the Lord. Trust him. God loves you, God hears you, and God sees you. Oh, how comforting that is, until you add all the time. God sees you all the time. He hears you all the time. He sees you all the time. He loves you all the time. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. Ooh. The thoughts are one thing. The intents are a whole different animal there. He knows the thoughts and intents of my heart. And then as I thought on these things, I thought of you as smart, you as kind, and you as important. You're smart because you decided to ask Jesus to come and live in your heart and to be your Savior. You are kind because you're being changed into his likeness. And you are important, so important to God, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. Do you know him? Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with the Son of God? A personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. If that is so, then tell somebody. Tell somebody what you have. We are in the last days. Everybody needs to know. So tell somebody. Don't just keep it to yourself. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, disciplined mind. God has got this. Remember how to deal. Don't be afraid to share what God has done in your life. Don't be afraid to share what God's done in your life. And remember how to deal with your stress. Seek God's guidance. Trust what he tells you to do. Remember past victories. Exalt God above the problem. And solicit the prayers and support of others. And stand on the promises of God, because he's faithful and you can trust him. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you have sent your only Son that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us comfortless, but you have sent your Holy Spirit to come alongside and to comfort us. That you have given us opportunity, Lord, to be done with those things of our past, to be done with those things of today, Lord. You said that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And right now, Lord, we say to you, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Live in my heart. Be the king of my life. Lead me, Lord. Lead me in the way everlasting. For you are good, and your mercy endures unto all generations. And Father, as these ladies get into their small groups, as they bless one another with their presence, with their thoughts, with their kindnesses, Lord, as they seek you together, as they learn together, as they grow together, Lord, I pray, Father, that your anointing would be on them and that you would show them something that they haven't seen up till now, that tonight would be a revelation, Lord, of your love for them. That you see them, you love them, you hear them, that you, they can put their trust in you. We thank you, Lord. We honor you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out.